everyone. Welcome to this week's podcast. Today we're chatting about email marketing, and I'm going to talk to you about why you should have an email list, how you can set one up, and some of the strategies that you can use to make your email list powerful and effective for your art business.
Hello, Laura. How are you going?
I'm really good. Been sleeping in this week because it's the school holidays, and I've kind of been taking my foot off the gas and enjoying a bit of downtime as well, in between some very busy bursts of working. It's a bit of a juggle during the school holidays.
Yeah, it seems like the kids are always on holidays.
We've had a whole lot of pupil free days recently, so it feels like the kids have been around a lot more than they normally are. But anyway, I'm actually enjoying the slower pace because I'm sitting here in my pajamas right now doing this. And we are in our daughter's bedroom so that we could find somewhere that's quiet. And our son is up at the other end of the house in our bedroom playing. So that's how we're making this work today.
Yes. The acoustics are better in Sophia's room as well.
Yeah, it's got carpet here and it just makes the sound a little bit better. I've heard of people recording podcasts in like cupboards and closets and things for that reason. Anyway, so today what I thought I would talk about, or we will talk about, is email marketing. And the reason for that is because I've had a few people ask me about this recently. And in a podcast a while back, I mentioned that my email list is my most powerful marketing tool, more powerful than my social media, which surprised some people. My email list is a lot smaller than the number of followers I have across the other platforms, but they are far more engaged. And when I want to get people to take action on something, so that could be to purchase an online class or purchase artwork or listen to a podcast, any of those sorts of things, my email list hands down wins every time as far as how many people it can get to take that particular action.
Yeah, the numbers don't lie.
Yes, the numbers don't lie. So I've become very, I guess, passionate and committed to maintaining a consistent approach to email marketing. But I will couch that by saying that this is fairly new for me. I started focusing on my email marketing list at the very beginning of 2018. So it's been about 18 months of consistent action towards it, and it has grown a lot in that time. So it's one of the things that I wish that I had started sooner. I just didn't even really think about email marketing as an art business strategy. So I'm going to chat a little bit about what I've done and why I've done it. And hopefully this will be helpful for anyone that is just getting started or working on building their email list. And I hope it's encouraging for people as well, that they realize that you don't need to have a really big email list to make an impact. Because I started seeing great results even with a very small list. So I'm going to talk a little bit about why I have an email list just quickly. I've already touched on it. I find that the people that are on the email list are more engaged than people that might necessarily follow you on social media. It's great because it's separate to social media, so it provides a little bit of, I guess, protection in the sense that you are not putting all your eggs in one basket and that you have more control over your email list. So if something were to happen to Instagram, Facebook, we've talked about this before, but you've got those names that you've collected and you can continue to market, which is something that we recognize is very important from a business protection standpoint.
Yeah.
The other thing is it's very affordable as far as marketing is concerned. It's not as expensive as taking out ads and things like that. It's also still highly effective. You might think that email is dead. Well, it well and truly isn't. And I think there's many people that get to work on a Monday at 9 a.m, don't really feel like getting started, and they go into their inbox, read a few emails, or maybe at lunchtime, or maybe on the train, you know, on the way. People have access to email on their phones now. You'd be surprised at how many people are still flicking through emails on a daily basis, and if they see something that's interesting, they're going to go further with it. It also gives you the capacity to do more targeted marketing. You can do things with your list. You can segment your list. You can collect information about the people that are signing up. So you can send emails out that are location specific. So if you have something that's only relevant for your Australian audience, you can actually send the email only to the Australian people. So I'm just using Australia because that's where I am. But let's say I was running a workshop or something like that and it was just going to be a local event. I don't have to send that to people that are overseas. So there's that kind of thing. You can also segment based on the interests of the people. So if they're interested in your podcast, if they're interested in paintings, you can make that distinction. So very powerful tools in there that you can use to make your marketing much more targeted to who you're sending it to rather than it just being sort of generic. So they're the reasons why I use email marketing. To get into the how of doing it, you are going to need an email marketing provider to make this easy for you. So there are many different platforms. So a few that you might consider are there's ConvertKit, there's AWeber, there's MailChimp, there's MailerLite, there's a whole lot of them. The one I use is MailChimp, which is very popular. You can use MailChimp. I think it's the first 2,000 on your list is free. So you can get started without spending any money at all. And then what it does is it goes up based on how your list grows. So once you get over that 2,000, it does start to rise and you end up paying a certain amount per month, but it's very reasonable. So that's something you need to look into. So what the email provider will do is it's like a database effectively. It stores all the names and it allows you to slice and dice it, and then you can develop your newsletters and marketing campaigns from that provider. And there's a whole lot of tools that it has that makes it easier. It's very drag and drop. So you can set up a newsletter really easily. You can put buttons in it so that people can click on things and it will take them to where you want them to go. You can add images, you can add video, and it's all very template based. So when you go into MailChimp, you'll be able to set up a campaign. So a new campaign, and you can choose a template for that campaign. So it can be a one column or a two column. It can be image heavy or it could be more like words. You can decide what kind of format you want. It's just drag and drop. Choose what you want, slide it in. Very easy.
And is this connected to back to your website?
Yes, I'll get to that in a minute. So this is where you create your campaign and you collect your email addresses. But in order to get those email addresses in there, you need to have a way for people to sign up to your email list.
Mm-hmm.
MailChimp and the other kinds of platforms that are out there, they provide different forms, pop-ups, things like that that you can use. And the main home for those is your website. So you can put those into your website. And if you're using something like Squarespace, Squarespace integrates with MailChimp and provides its own ways of adding things into your website that's really easy and user-friendly. A few places that you might want to think about putting these calls to action. You would have seen on websites, there's often an announcement bar up the top. There's a little button and it'll say new online class or latest collection, and it runs across the top of the website. So that's a really good place where you can add a little link there and then people can sign up a form effectively to your email newsletter list in order to get that information or whatever it is that you want.
Yeah, so you want to be giving them a reason.
You can just have on your website, sign up to my newsletter here. Mm-hmm. And I do that from time to time. It's not really enough these days. People are looking for, a hook, something that's going to provide value. And they want to see that straight away. And just saying a newsletter doesn't often, people are just like, newsletter. But if you were to say, sign up here and you'll get my 10 tips for better acrylic painting or something like that. You'll get my website resource guide or help you build your website or whatever it is that you do. That's going to be a much more powerful way of encouraging email signups. Another area that is very powerful is your header or footer. So often right up the top of your website, I've seen people who put a call to action in the very first sort of section of your website. It might even be in the banner, and it might be image heavy and something that really invites people to click through, find out more, that kind of thing. Similarly, at the bottom of the page, before people sort of move on to another page, it can be a good place to get people's attention and just have a little sign up box there. Your about page, where you talk about what you do and who you are. People often go there looking for information, so they're sort of more open to perhaps finding out more about you through your newsletter list. You can also add pop-ups to your website. so that when people have been on your website for a certain amount of time, so you can decide whether that's 10 seconds, 15 seconds, 5 seconds, 30 seconds, depending on what you feel will work for you, then you can have something that pops up that says, would you like to get this free guide? Would you like to take my free course? In order to do that, they then sign up to your email list.
And that pop-up can be designed with your own piece of art. You can design that pop-up.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be like the generic pop-ups, like when you say pop-up to me,
yeah,
when you're going through Google, you're getting these advertisements,
really
pop-ups.
Salesy,
yeah,
kind
McDonald's
of,
is around
yeah.
the corner, or buy the latest microwave.
And I had a resistance to pop-ups for a long time. I really didn't like them. But yes, you can edit them. You can either create them in your email provider, so MailChimp, for example,
mm-hmm.
or you can build them in Squarespace if you use Squarespace or something like that. Sometimes I use a third party called, there's two that I've kind of dabbled with. One is called Sumo and the other one is called Opt-in Monster. And they just provide some more creative ways to put these kind of opt-ins in. So that's like a little bit more of an advanced option. They just give you more format so you can be really creative with where you put them and how they look and how you integrate them and the colors and the fonts. It's just more editing capacity. So that's something that you could look at. It just gives you far more options around.
So your pop-up becomes a turn on rather than a turn off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and you can time it and you can put your pop-ups in certain places so that, for example, you know, if you've written a blog post about Instagram, for example, and you have a opt-in or a lead magnet, as they're sometimes called,
mm-hmm.
so you have 10 tips to boost your Instagram or something like that, you can time that so that when people are on your page reading about Instagram, then the pop-up comes up. So that's where you get your more advanced pop-up options. To be honest, I haven't done a lot of that myself. I just haven't had the time to go deep with it, but I've used a few of those kind of options and it's something to explore. But this is one of those things where you've got to find that right balance, you know, of how much time you spend on this versus making sure that you're still getting in the studio and painting. And that's been a challenge for me.
Absolutely.
So I take a very, I guess, simple approach with this sort of stuff. My goal is to send out an email newsletter once a week. And then the other thing that I focus on is having at least two good lead magnets on my website. So at the moment, the two lead magnets that I have, so the two things that people can sign up to and get. So I have one called Finding Your Unique Artistic Style, which is a workbook. It's around developing the kind of art that you really want to make and asking yourself powerful questions. And then I have another one, which is on branding, and it's about identifying who you are as an artist and how to reflect that in all of the things that you do across your brand. So I have two lead magnets on my website that I use to encourage signups to my email list.
Now, you call them lead magnets, but they're still very good, useful pieces of information.
Yeah, that's just the, I guess, marketing speak. A lead magnet is just, you know, it's a very marketing term for how you encourage people. You get your lead. It's a magnet for leads. It's something that attracts people to your business. So when you want to get people to sign up to your list, you really want to encourage the benefit to them of being on your newsletter list. We've mentioned the lead magnet, so they're going to get something that's useful. Could be that they're going to get a discount. So I use that as well as part of my strategy, that people can get a discount on my online classes. If they sign up to my newsletter list, there's a 20% off coupon that can be used on any online class. So there's that. They become part of a community. So there's things that I share with my email list that I don't share across other platforms. So it's exclusive in a way. So there's that. The opportunity to purchase artwork and have like an advanced kind of preview of the art.
Yeah.
You need to think about what the value is for your email list and consistently providing them with perks and benefits of being part of your community.
Yeah. If I was to sign up for your email list, am I going to get bombarded with emails?
My strategy around email is to send an email approximately once a week, once to twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to find your sweet spot with that. That can take a little bit of testing out.
I could deal with that.
Yeah.
I bought Asher a scooter. In order to buy him the scooter and pay for it, we had to give him my email details. Mm. And I just keep getting emails from them. So now they're in the spam bucket.
Yeah, I mean, I do that all the time. I clean out my inbox from those sorts of emails. But then I have only a handful. I have to admit there's only a few emails that I subscribe to, or people or brands that I subscribe to, that I enjoy. I wait for them. I enjoy their emails coming through. And I set myself a little bit of time in the mornings to soak up inspiration. And I go into that. I have a separate folder. So my emails that come from newsletters, they go into a different folder in my inbox. So that's a strategy that I use to stay focused on my work. So they're hidden, but I make time usually with a cup of tea in a morning, might be just sort of warm me up.
Yeah.
And I'll spend half an hour just reading the emails that I enjoy reading.
Because I subscribe to Audible, and they send out a thing called Daily Deals. You can get an online book for $3. And I always say to myself, who will buy one of those books? And now I find myself buying them.
Oh, I've heard loads of people talking about those deals on Audible and how many things they've snapped up.
Yeah. I used to just laugh at them saying, no, no, no. Oh, yeah. I like that one.
Yeah, the people that are into your stuff, they love getting your emails. So don't ever, we all get sort of caught up in this idea that email is super annoying and it stops us from sending them out. And it happens to me too. What I tend to do is every week I decide on what is the most valuable thing that I've done that week, like the thing that people will be most interested in, and I send an email about that. So I have a single strategy email approach, so single purpose emails. I don't tend to do newsletter roundups of lots of different things. The other week I had a really busy week with lots of cool stuff happening all in the one week, and I couldn't decide what was the most important, and I was in the, oh, I don't want to bombard people with emails, but at the same time I was like, this is really cool. Like, I was involved in a free weekend called the Creative Retreat, where people could access one of my online classes for free for a very short period of time, 24 hours. And then if they wanted to continue with it, there's a paid course. I'll link that in the show notes because that's still going on. But anyway, I was like, oh, you know, there's going to be people that would love to do this course over the weekend. So I want to send out about that. And then we had the early bird ending on our current online course, Braver Things. And then I thought, well, there's probably people that would really like to get that course before they have to pay full price for it. So I was like, I better tell them about that. And then I did the interview with Kelly Bergella, and I loved that interview. I really enjoyed it, and I wanted to give people the opportunity to hear such a fresh and honest perspective on building an art business. I mean, that's such a real and raw conversation. And so I was all conflicted. And in the end, I sent all three out in the one week because I just couldn't decide. And there's going to be times like that. But I think you need to always put yourself in your audience's shoes and think about it from their perspective and realize that they're there because they want to hear from you.
Yeah.
And then balance it out. I'm not going to send three emails every week, but there might be times when you have a lot going on where it absolutely makes sense to send out three, maybe even more emails in a week if you're launching something.
You used the word cool, three cool things that you wanted to put out there. It wasn't just spamming your email list.
Yeah, that's right. Like, I genuinely, it was coming from a place of, this is really cool and I want you to know about it. And I think if you operate from that kind of mindset, then the people that read your email list are also going to get that feeling too, that you are wanting to share things with them because you think that that might brighten their day or that might help them out. So that's a really good place to approach it from. If you're just getting into starting your email newsletter, it's worth having a think about your strategy or style of newsletter. So how you're going to approach it, because if you make some decisions, you're going to save yourself time later because you know what you're doing and you've got an approach to it. So a few things you might want to think about is whether or not you want to do a newsletter format, like I talked about, so a more traditional type of newsletter where you talk about a few different things, give people an overview of what's going on. While I don't use that strategy, some of the emails that I love do have that approach. So
it reads like a magazine type.
Yeah, and I enjoy that. So it depends on your business. You can go for a very sort of informational, I don't think informational is a word.
It is now.
But you can go for something that's more more focused on providing information. So it's very sort of tips heavy. So it's got a lot of 10 tips or watch this technique or that kind of style. You could go for something that's more fun, personal. You need to sort of think about whether you're going to have like a conversational approach to your email newsletter or whether you're going to have a little bit more of a formal approach. Depends again on your business.
Now, I'm showing my age here. When you say newsletter, our 11-year-old daughter has no idea that a newsletter used to get delivered into your door every Thursday and it would have all the local news.
Yes.
Because it's a letter.
With news.
With news in it.
Yes.
But newsletters nowadays can have hyperlinks, videos, yes, audio, pictures.
That's right.
They're the full package, aren't they?
Yeah. And that's where you need to have a think about this, what approach you want to take. There is some research that suggests that people actually enjoy getting emails that don't have a lot of imagery and things like that. Now, I'm a bit on the fence with this. There are people that go with the very plain text. I think the email provider ConvertKit is very much focused on this approach where you don't actually load up your emails with lots of images and things. And perhaps, I guess the thinking around it is you get people over to your website and there they enjoy images. And maybe it's because I'm an artist and I'm just very visual. I don't love those kind of emails. I do like a hint of an image or something like that in there. So I've just gone with my gut with that and I still use images, you know, have a YouTube clip with a thumbnail and stuff like that in my newsletter.
Mm.
There's two schools of thought on that one. The important thing though is to think about this and just make some decisions rather than chopping and changing and doing all sorts of different things. Decide what you're going to do and give it a go for a while and then tweak it. I've mentioned about consistency in the sense that I aim for one newsletter a week, and I think that's a good place to operate from. The important part is the consistency. So you could go for once a month, twice a week, fortnightly. I think the good idea is to set yourself a target and build a habit around sending a newsletter and realize that it doesn't have to be a big ordeal, that a newsletter can be a quick, easy thing to do. That's something that took me a while. It took me a while to realize that email doesn't have to take too long. You can take content from your other platforms. If I've written an Instagram post that's resonating with people, then I'll sometimes take that, copy it, and use that as the basis of an email. So don't forget that you've already got great content probably sitting around. The other thing is just write it out quickly first.
So when you say email, there's nothing attached to it. This is just an email that you're sending out to your emailing list.
Yeah, you could do that. You could just send out something that you've discovered, something that you've shared. It doesn't always have to be that you've got something that you're trying to sell or something. In fact, I would encourage you to take the approach that only some of your emails should be focused on that, but that you should also just share because you want to share.
Huh, just an email.
Yeah, just an email. But you know what? When I say that, when you think about it, if you're sharing something that you've shared on Instagram, what you're doing is encouraging people to go check out your Instagram. So it's got a purpose. It's a very, you know, you might not even think about it. You mightn't even be conscious of it. But the fact that you're doing that encourages people to go check out your Instagram, which builds your social media following, which is going to help your business. Whatever you do is going to help. But it doesn't always have to be big, hard, and take a long time. It can be just something quick. So when it comes to writing your emails, there are many different approaches you can take in order to get people to actually click on that email and read it. And your title or your headline is very important for that. So thinking about how you word things makes a big difference. And there's a few different types of emails that I send out. So one of them is just a very much a keep it simple email. And that's where in the heading, I basically say exactly what's in the email. What I mean by that is if I have an online class, I'll say something like new online class, Braver Things starting soon, or early bird running now. Like it's very direct. There's no mistake about what it is because there are people in my audience that I know want this information. And the same would go if you're having an exhibition or releasing a new collection. You want it to be very clear because if it's vague, people might skim over it. even though they are interested in that thing. So that's the first type of email, the keep it simple email.
So inside that email will be a link to the video or the promotional video, some photographs of the course, and an information package.
Yes. The next type of email that I send from time to time is the time-sensitive email. So this is where you emphasize that if you don't act now, you're going to miss out on something. You could say that it's time-sensitive, urgent, don't miss out. They're the kinds of things that you might put in the title so that when people see it, they realize that if they don't look at this email now, they might miss out on something. So if I've got an early bird coming to an end, or maybe I've only got one or two pieces of art left that haven't sold in a release of art, then that's the kind of email that I would send out. Only two pieces left. Grab them now while you can. That kind of thing. So urgency. The other type of email is the personal kind of approach. And this is where you can pique people's interest with something like the hardest day I've ever had in my art career, or something like that. So it's not all that specific, like the keep it simple. It's actually almost a little bit vague, but it's personal and it sparks curiosity. So that's the another type of email that you could send out.
A little more honest.
Yeah, it makes people want to kind of find out what you're talking about. And usually it taps into either pleasure or pain in some sense, you know. Yeah. So it might be
something they can relate to.
Yeah, it's very relatable. It's, you know, this is the one thing that really changed my art, or that type of email. And then that's it. And then people have to click through to find out your story. You're telling a story. So there's that kind of email. The other one is the email that provides value. And when I say value, this is the email that it's very obvious that when they click on it, they're going to get some information that they can absorb and apply. And these are extremely popular and very, get a lot of, I guess, engagement with them. And that's because people want useful information.
People love free stuff.
Yeah, free stuff. So this is your 10 tips, your 5 strategies for this. So that kind of stuff where you're going to spell it out and they know they're going to open the email and they're going to get a resource. So it's a resource-based value add email. They're the 4 main types of emails that I send out. So there's the keep it simple, make it urgent, spark curiosity, or provide value. So they're the 4 kinds of emails that I sort of use in my email marketing. So I've mentioned the 4 main types of emails that I send out. The other thing that I do is test out different kinds of headlines. What I mean by that is you can come up with 2 different titles for your email that you're going to send out. You can split your audience in half and send out the same email content but with a different title to the 2 groups, and then you can compare and see if one title is more engaging than the other. And they call that split testing or A/B testing. So you've got group A and group B, and you can test out different strategies. So that's, again, another, I guess, more advanced thing that you can try out once you've got a handle on your email list.
So just to finish up, I'm on the train, flicking through your Instagram. I find something that I really, really like, one of your online classes. So I click back to your website and I sign up for your email list. What happens?
Okay, so when people sign up to my email list, I have a welcome email. So this is an automatic email that gets sent out. So you can create automations. That way you can welcome new people to your list with whatever kind of emails you would like them to get. One of the reasons for doing that is that you could have emails from months ago that would be great for someone who's new to your list. So you can set up a welcome sequence if you want to. What I have is a welcome email that tells people about my online classes and offers them a coupon code discount. So I'm getting straight to the point of what I guess my highest value work is, or the work that I put, my main thing, for lack of a, is the online classes. So I'm getting straight to the point and I'm telling them that this is what my main work is, and if you'd love to check out a class, you can get a discount.
So now I'm on your website, I'm lingering around, I'm reading about your podcast, And then this beautifully crafted pop-up pops up, but I've already signed up to your email list.
Well, that's one of the cool things about how you can set your website up. You can actually set it up in such a way that the pop-up will not appear to someone who has signed up to your email list.
Uh-huh. Now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah. So there are ways that you can navigate that so that people aren't getting pop-ups all the time. You also can set up a timer so that you could say that once someone's received a pop-up, they don't get it again for a certain amount of time. So you can say that you'll re-engage with that person in 3 months' time.
So with all these tools in place, you're creating for me an amazing experience on your website, and I won't be getting any information that A, I don't want, and B, I don't need.
Yeah. So you can see why email marketing is so much more powerful than social media, because you have all these tools at your fingertips that you can target and create, just as you said, a much more enjoyable experience for your viewer or your audience. Thanks everyone for listening in to this week's podcast. I hope that it helps you get started and grow your email list. And if you enjoyed this episode, perhaps you know someone that would find the information in here helpful, please do share it. You can do that over on Instagram. We love it when we see your stories. And yeah, other than that, I hope to see you again next week.